Hello, welcome to ELLO, podcasts on English language and linguistics for everyone. My name is Manfred Seiler. I am from the ELLO team of the University of Göttingen. In this podcast, we will see how we can find the right syntactic analysis of an English sentence. This may sound complicated, but if we do it step by step, we'll get there. Let's look at the following sentence. Pat will write to my history teacher tomorrow. It is going to take us 6 steps to arrive at the syntactic analysis. These 6 steps are: Step 1. We identify clause boundaries and word boundaries. Step 2. We assign each word a syntactic category. Step 3. We group words into constituents. Step 4. We assign each constituent a syntactic category. Step 4. We assign each constituent a syntactic category. Step 4. We assign each constituent a syntactic category. Step 5. We identify the grammatical functions of the constituents. Step 6. We draw a tree diagram according to our theory. Let's have a brief look at each of these steps. Step 1. We identify clause boundaries and word boundaries. The first step in a linguistic analysis is a segmentation step. This means that we have to identify the smallest and the largest units of the analysis. In syntax, we are looking at the way in which words are combined to form sentences. Consequently, the word is the smallest unit for syntactic analysis. The sentence is the largest unit. We seem to have good intuitions about word boundaries. Orthography also helps in English because we usually put spaces between words, but this is not a fully reliable criterion. Let's look at our example. Pat will write to my history teacher tomorrow. There's no problem for the words Pat, will, write, to, my, and tomorrow. But what about history teacher? In this sentence, history and teacher form one word, even though there can be a space between them. History teacher is a complex word. If you're doing morphology, in this sentence, history and teacher form one word, even though there can be a space between them. History teacher is a complex word. If you're doing morphology, you should look deeper into its internal structure. But for syntax, this doesn't play a role. In our sentence, the combination history teacher is one unit. Step 1 has revealed that our sentence consists of 7 words. One of them is a compound. Step 2. We assign each word a syntactic category. Step 2. We assign each word a syntactic category. Once we have found the basic units of analysis, we must categorize them. In syntax, this means that we determine the syntactic category for each word. Syntactic categories are, for example, noun, verb, adjective, determiner, or preposition. Instead of syntactic category, we also speak of part of speech. We distinguish between major and minor parts of speech. The major parts of speech are noun, verb, adjective, adverb, and preposition. The minor parts of speech are used for function words, such as determiners, auxiliaries, and conjunctions. There are criteria and tests to determine the part of speech of a word. For example, only nouns can show an inflection for plural. One history teacher, 2 history teachers. Adjectives don't show such an inflection. We say one friendly teacher, but not 2 friendlies teachers. Let us turn to our sentence. Pat will write to my history teacher tomorrow. In this sentence, there are 2 nouns, Pat history teacher, one verb, ride, one preposition, to, one adverb, tomorrow, one auxiliary, will, one determiner, my. We've reached the end of step two. Let us proceed to the next step. Step three. We group words into constituents. Some words in a sentence belong close. Step three. We group words into constituents. Some words in a sentence belong. Step three. We group words into constituents. Some words in a sentence belong together more closely than others. We call these groups of words constituents. There's a number of so-called constituent tests to identify such groups. Movement is one of these constituent tests. If a group of words can be displaced within the same sentence, then this group must form a unit. Let's look at our example. Pat will write to my history teacher tomorrow. We can put to my history teacher to the beginning of the sentence. To my history teacher, Pat will write tomorrow. But we cannot put the sequence write to the front of the sentence. This would lead to the following ungrammatical sentence. Write to Pat will my history teacher tomorrow. This means that to my history teacher is a constituent, but write to is not. Applying constituent tests of this type to the sentence, we can show that the following groups of words are constituents. My history teacher, to my history teacher, write to my history teacher, write to my history teacher tomorrow, will write to my history teacher tomorrow. Step 4. We assign each constituent a syntactic category. Remember from step 2 that we have criteria to determine. Remember from step 2 that we have criteria to determine the part of speech of words. The same happens with syntactic constituents. We can determine the syntactic category of a constituent based on its internal structure and based on its distribution in a sentence. Let us start with a distributional test. The simplest test is substitution with a pronoun. If we can substitute a constituent with she, him, or it, we know that the constituent is a noun phrase. In our sentence, we can say her for my history teacher. Pat will write to her tomorrow. This shows that my history teacher is a noun phrase. What about the constituent to my history teacher? Here, we cannot use a pronoun. But we can look at the internal structure of the constituent. If a constituent consists of a preposition followed by a noun phrase, the constituent is a prepositional phrase. With criteria like these, we get the following syntactic categories for the constituents in our example sentence. My history teacher is a noun phrase. To my history teacher is a prepositional phrase. Write to my history teacher is a verb phrase. Write to my history teacher tomorrow is a verb phrase. Will write to my history teacher tomorrow is a verb phrase. Step 5. We identify the grammatical functions of the constituents. In the next step, we look at the elements in each constituent separately and determine their grammatical function. We distinguish four grammatical functions: head, complement, modifier, and specifier. Note that the grammatical function is not an internal property of a constituent itself, but it is a property of the constituent in relation to other elements in the sentence. For this reason, we always say that a constituent has a particular grammatical function within another constituent. Let us start with the noun phrase "my history teacher" again. The head of a constituent determines Let us start with the noun phrase my history teacher again. The head of a constituent determines its syntactic category. Consequently, the noun history teacher is the head of the noun phrase. The determiner my is a functional element at the left periphery of the constituent. This makes it a specifier of this noun phrase. We also find complements and modifiers in our sentence. In the constituent, to my history teacher, the preposition is the head and the noun phrase is the complement. Okay, my noun. We also find complements and a modifier in our sentence. In the constituent, to my history teacher, the preposition is the head and the noun phrase is the complement. The adverb tomorrow is a modifier in the verb phrase, write to my history teacher tomorrow. Syntactic theories differ in the details of how they treat the combination of a subject, the auxiliary, and the verb phrase at the top of a clause. There's some consensus, however, that the auxiliary is the head of clause. The verb phrase is its complement and the subject its specifier. This completes step 5. Our example sentence contains instances of all four grammatical functions: head, complement, modifier, and specifier. Step 6. We draw a tree diagram according to our theory. Most aspects of the 5 preceding steps were independent of a particular theory. Step 6 now has 2 purposes. First, the results of all preceding steps are shown in a compact format. Second, the chosen format is compatible with a particular theory of syntax. For this reason, the result of step 6 may look differently depending on the theoretical framework you choose. Nevertheless, the results from the more empirical steps determine the overall shape of the final analysis. Let's see how. The words from step 1 constitute the basic level in the tree diagram, the leaves. Every word is dominated by a node that contains its part of speech label from step 2. The tree diagram conserves the constituent bracketing from step 3. We will also use the phrasal syntactic category labels determined in step 4. But theoretical considerations may ask for more nodes in the tree than strictly required by the constituent bracketing. Let's look at a simple example. In our sentence, the proper name pad is a noun, but at the same time, it has all the properties of a noun phrase. To reflect this in the tree, many linguists assume an additional NP node in the syntactic structure. The only daughter of this NP is the noun pet. Now we saw how the results of the first 4 steps are captured in the tree. But what about the grammatical functions? Again, different theories have different ways to encode this information. The simplest way is to annotate the branches in the tree with the respective grammatical functions. So we can write specifier at the branch that connects the determiner my to the noun phrase node. Similarly, we use the labels head, complement, and modifier at the appropriate branches in the tree. Once all this information from steps 1 to 5 has been integrated into the tree, the analysis is complete. So thank you for going with me through the 6 steps of a syntactic analysis. We could only mention some aspects of each step, so check out the details in your syntax introduction. If you follow the 6 steps, you'll soon be more confident when you analyze a sentence. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.